You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, you friendly Force users, and welcome to another monthly episode of Echo Station Podcast. I'm Chris Jade, as always, and here with my lovely co-host, Ian.
That's me. Hello.
Hello. So we got a little bit of news, kind of like not like big news, but some interesting kind of fun little tidbits to talk about. And then our main topic today is going to be the recently released Star Wars Vintage Collection on Disney Plus.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that.
Because for some reason, the 2013 Clone Wars is considered vintage.
2013 is vintage, y'all.
Or not 2013, it was 2003.
Excuse 2003, me. Yeah. 2003, yeah. No, so if 2003 is vintage, then we are ancient.
Yeah, that's where we are dust.
That is where we are.
Like, that's... When I saw it was on there, I'm like, oh, is it a separate thing? No, it's under vintage. Okay,
that's cool. Just where we are now in society. Thanks.
We live in a society.
We live in a society where 2003 is vintage.
It is vintage. Yep. Oh boy, what a society that is. All right. So news-wise.
Yep.
It looks like Gina Carano has been shadow banned from Twitter.
Yes. So saw a little bit of buzz about this. She's not coming up when you search for her.
You have to do a deep dive to search her.
Yeah, and she's not coming up on, like, you know, just if you didn't follow her and you were scrolling, just, you know, random, you know, mm-hmm. random stuff comes up on Twitter if somebody retweets or whatever
or likes it. Yeah,
she's not gonna come up. That's basically what shadow banning is.
Yeah, you had to explain that to me because I was like, what the fuck is a shadow ban?
Yeah, so you can be shadow banned on any platform, and it Correct. happens all the time. People get shadow banned on Instagram all the time. I don't think I've ever had it happen to me, but I know all of my friends that are in cosplay have had it happen, and it just basically means the algorithm pushes you down and makes you invisible. So
does it ever go away, or is it always
it
like
does
that?
Okay. It does go away. Usually they just, it's like you've been doing something too much. Like on Instagram, it's if you post too much using the same hashtags, the algorithm will push you down and shadow ban you for a little while. Because social media is dumb and a cesspool. It's just of stupidity.
Yeah.
But Twitter and Facebook, I don't know about Instagram so much, but I know that Twitter and Facebook do this to keep down controversial stuff, things that they're getting a lot of complaints about content wise and whatnot. Instead of just outright kicking you off the platform, they'll just make it so that unless people are really looking for you, they're not going to see you.
Right.
So that's interesting. I don't know. No confirmation on that. I did kind of do a little bit of searching and it was a little hard to find her, but
you can, but you have to really do, like, you have to search and then go to, like, top results and go to find someone who follows her and then, like, tag her in something and then you'll find her, basically.
Yeah.
Is so, how I understand it.
So there's that.
What are you playing with?
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. I am playing... I guess you can't see it.
What is that?
Yeah, I am playing with... This is an action figure of a dark elf enchanter. It's basically, this was my character when I played EverQuest.
Okay, because like, in middle school. we're on Zoom right now for those who don't know. And I just see, so Chris, her background right now is a Star Destroyer bridge. And all of a sudden, I just see like this blue little creature like on the screen, just like trotting around. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, no, she has always lived by my computer since I bought her. I think I bought her in high school, but I started playing in middle school.
Yeah. Oh, she has a staff and everything.
She does, because she's a caster. Oh. Yeah, this is my other nerddom, my other heavy-duty nerddom, aside from Star Wars, is like Dungeons and Dragons type stuff.
Yeah, well, speaking of which, plug what you and your little group did.
So if you guys are a big fan of Dungeons and Dragons, if you listen to the uber-popular Critical Role podcast, we went up to Denver and then into the Rockies a few weeks ago, like almost a month ago now. My friends and I at another Castle Creations, we all got our COVID tests like a couple days before. We tested negative, we stayed home, then we rented a giant like church van and we drove to the mountains.
To the mountains.
Yeah, and we were there when, if you heard on the news, when Denver got that huge historic blizzard. So we were there for that. It was an epic amount of snow. And we took photos because we did, we made costumes for the like crazy frozen land adventure that they've been doing on Critical Role. So they've all got like really cool winter outfits. So we made versions of that and then ran around in the snow for a few hours in these crazy outfits.
You looked, and I was waiting for you to get on this so I could tell you this, you looked like an angry like Russian assassin woman.
That is pretty much what Yasha is.
Okay,
she is an angry,
the hat made it seem like very Russian.
Yes, she wanted the voice actress, when she described it, she was like, yeah, I want one of those Russian type hats. Look like a Bolshevik hat.
And it didn't look like just an angry Russian in the snow. I'm like, oh,
I love it. I mean I'm always kind of partially angry Russian looking anyway, just because I'm Eastern European.
Fair.
So I kind of like my resting bitch face is angry Russian.
Yes. But I was like, but
yeah, so we had a lot of fun and it was really cool. And I made this amazing coat. It's really, really pretty, and it's wool and it's lined in fleece and it's super warm and totally usable. And I've worn it a couple of times since then, just like in regular life.
Out and about.
Yeah, everybody's like, that is an amazing coat.
It's really pretty. Does it have like runes on it too, or?
It kind of has. So it's mostly like flowers and lightning,
okay,
kind of motifs, because she's her patron god is the Storm Lord.
Okay.
But she likes flowers too. So I did. It's a giant. It's just a giant like military trench coat type of thing with a hood.
Okay.
It's black wool, and I embroidered the entire thing with this metallic silver embroidery of these flowers and lightning and kind of.
It looks very pretty. Go check her Instagram, cool, which is
My Instagram is Chris Jaded. Yeah, and it actually got featured too. The costume got featured on Critical Role's website.
Did it?
For the cosplays.
Oh, yay!
So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I was
pretty stoked. Famous.
Yeah, and a few of the cast members actually liked, when I tweeted it out, they liked the tweet, so.
I always love that when something like you do, and you take bases off of like someone's like art design, or someone's, you know, whatever it is, and that person who created it or had a hand in creating it likes your photo, that gives you such good validation.
Yeah, no, it was really, really nice. I posted it to Reddit as well, and everybody was like, oh wow, you like, you are this character, it literally looks like you stepped right out of the game, and it was very validating. Yes. Especially considering how much work went into this insane outfit. I mean, there's probably, I don't know, there's probably like 50 hours of embroidery work. It's a lot,
but it turned out really well.
Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, so yeah, so that we did that was fun. We were going to do some Star Wars stuff. We did not get a chance to. Oh, I did do some. Actually, I did do Star Wars that weekend.
I did Mara.
I did.
It's her green outfit, right?
Jedi outfit. Her green outfit. The one where she looks like she walked off the set of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that one.
That.
With her Katniss braid.
Yeah, so the Katniss braid, which is like my preferred hairstyle. So that was easy.
Did you use your own hair? Or was there a wig for that one?
No, that was my hair.
That's what I thought.
I try to do my hair when I do Mara, because,
well, it makes sense too.
Because I can. Yeah. Because I can. It's only if I, like, the random times in my life where I've cut it short and dyed it black that I wasn't able to do it. But
right.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, I actually really like that outfit. I think it's really cute. It's really comfortable. I do think it has a good Jedi leaning towards it. I like that it's green. It's kind of like a nod to Luke's lightsaber,
and it looked relatively easy to make too.
It's just a tunic.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And pants. Actually, they're tights. I know that Lawrence, our one of our previous guests, a couple of times, absolutely despises that outfit.
Why does he not like it?
Because he thinks it looks like it's from Lord of the Rings. He says it doesn't fit in Star Wars. He thinks it's dumb, and I think that's silly. Because
there can
and
be yes, some I'm crossover.
I am saying that you are silly, Lawrence, because there is so much fantasy crossover in Star Wars, and I think it's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
I mean, I could see her wearing like you know Tariel's outfit from The Hobbit. So you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Star Wars is like. So many
webs can cross for and intertwine and all that and shit.
Look at Padme's clothes. Like so many of Padme's clothes look straight out of some fantasy medieval renaissance.
Oh yeah.
High fantasy drama crap. Yeah. So anyway, I posted a few of those. I'll post some more as time goes on if you want to check that out. Also on my Instagram. I have content. I never have content.
I know, now that you're making new costumes, everything will have content.
It's been so long.
I'll have content soon because I am, and you're the first person to actually know this, I am revamping and redoing my Cruella.
Yes!
Because that wig is horrendous that I have. That was one of the first. It was one of the first wigs I ever made. It's not a lace front, but it has bangs, so it kind of hides the, you know, fact of that. But literally, I was like sewing in white wefts, and by sewing I mean like frantically just like going back and forth going this looks right because I'm not that great of a sewer, and the day of the con taking a staple gun and just chukum, 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 chukum. Oh, no. Yeah,
that's great.
So it was horrible, but it looked good in pictures, but no one knew that there was like hot glue industrial strength staples and really horrible sewing in that wig, so that was fun.
But
I'm gonna get a new wig, probably a new coat. A new coat for it, do new gloves for it. I'm gonna revamp that. But anyway, that's not Star Wars news, that's just my news. What other Star Wars news do we have?
I thought there was like three things. I remember one, but I don't remember the other.
Republic Commando has officially dropped on consoles.
So there's that.
It's not a remaster, it's not a remake or anything. It's been slightly tweaked to the controllers for the next gen and now, or previous gen, and I guess now gen would be the PS5 and everything for that.
Yes.
So if you didn't get to play it when it came out, like I didn't get to play it when it came out, I'm probably gonna get it. Same thing also if you random side thing, but it's still sci-fi. So the Mass Effect series is getting a whole like remaster 1, 2, and 3 for the new gen. So there's that. Cool. And then also the New Republic comic series is well on its way in story wise, and I'm having a blast reading them.
I need to get into that. I've got a couple of books that I'm reading right now that I need to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished rereading the last Scarlet Witch run. Because I have that in the full graphic novel form. And I wanted to read it after watching the show.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I've read a lot of comics now. I need to read, like, an actual book.
I need to read an adult book.
Graphic novels are for adults. Oh, yeah. They are absolutely for adults. But, that's going to be next on my list. And I will buy those instead of getting them from the library because I got to support the Star Wars books.
They're very, very good. I really enjoy them. And they have confirmed, hold on, this is huge for Star Wars. Give me a second, hang on. Because I want to get the wording right, so 2 seconds, hang on. Yeah, da, 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 da. There it is, okay. So on the National Trans Day of Visibility, the Star Wars Instagram account, they unveiled that the Jedi their names are gonna be really butchered here probably, but
the
Tarek and Carrot, maybe not Carrot, C-E-R-E-T, how would you say that? Crete?
C-E-R-E-T.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean it could be a hard C or it could be a soft C. It could be like Sarret.
Sarret? Tarek and Sarret. Okay, we'll call that. They are trans non-binary Jedi.
Yeah. And so we talked about how cool this is.
Huge, yeah. huge for the Star Wars community that's being represented there. And of course, with that came a slew of disgusting hate comments and
just stay away yeah, from the comments.
It was rough, but no. The one I focus on the positive ones, and yeah, it's a great thing for Star Wars. So keep it up, Star Wars and Marvel.
So we were talking about this, and how a non-binary ace Jedi would pretty much be like the ultimate perfect Jedi.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that tendency to lean into passion because of sexual desire.
Yeah.
Because of lust. Because if that's not a thing, then you're less likely to fall into those dark side tips. Yes. I don't know. So I feel like they would be the ultimate Jedi.
No, that's a very fair statement.
Why is it that on my camera, when I put my hair down, you can no longer see my face? I am now just a couple of eyeballs and like a mass of red hair.
I wasn't gonna say anything, that's all, but I did notice that. I was like, she's gone ghost.
It's like, what is happening?
She's gone Danny Phantom and just gone ghost.
Oh my god, it's so weird.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, all right, they're
just floating eyeballs in here right now.
It's and just floating eyeballs in here.
Best yep. thing.
So last bit that I can think of was just this kind of weird one-off thing. So a few places,
the Disney one.
Yeah, a few places are reporting that Disney currently has a working lightsaber.
Not like one that can like cut things in half, mind you, but like
an actual retractable blade lightsaber. So, apparently they've gone full Stark Industries and are going into experimental weapons tech. People are reporting that they have seen it, but no one has been allowed to photograph or video it. And so I'm like,
I assume they're going to be like, it's one of those things they're going to sell at Galaxy's Edge.
This seems like it's not supposed, what is this? Hold on.
Because it sounds like it's like one of those like retractable toys, like not like an actual like retractable like plasma beam.
No. This is supposed to be a real lightsaber.
Like an actual thing that can cut things.
Yes.
A real
lightsaber.
I thought I read that it's like a toy that's like a prototype toy. A high-end prototype toy.
The company has filed patents for similar products in the past, with the patent referring to it as a special effects device for providing an energy sword effect. Though it isn't clear whether this is indeed the same object as described by the patent, it does seem to be in the same spirit of what was shown off at the press conference. So it doesn't, there's no word on whether these particular working retractable lightsabers will ever be available to the general public, but hopefully we'll see more news soon. I don't know. That's pretty crazy. If I had Disney money, I'd definitely throw it to something cool like that. Lightsaber?
Yeah.
But for everything I have ever seen, we don't have the technology. It's not that it's not possible, it's just that we don't have the technology yet.
Now there's people on YouTube who've come close to like doing like a generator backpack kind of deal on their back.
Yes, exactly. They're very proto saber.
Yeah, not like a freestanding one that we've seen in the movies.
No, they work just like an actual lightsaber the way they worked in the movies. They have to have a power source connected to
them. Correct. It's kind of like the Ghostbusters backpack.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Which is super cool, but I don't know. This seems to be
an R&D weapon.
This seems to be something else.
Disney's R&D department.
Who knew, Disney? Who knew?
That's funny. I don't think we've ever talked about this before, but if you could choose, like in a fight, like just you, not like you as like a character, but just you and your skills that you have right now, blaster or lightsaber?
I mean, a blaster just seems so easy.
Right? Like, I'm very uncoordinated. I would lose a hand. I would lose, like, an artery or two. Maybe a toe.
Yeah. I mean, I want a lightsaber, but I feel like I'd probably cut my own head off.
Right. Like if someone's coming at me like head on, I could probably do something with a lightsaber, but also like a blaster.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a good shot.
Yeah.
Maybe. So I'm good with a bow. So I don't know.
But you know, those, like Night Sister bows.
Yeah. Maybe one of those. An energy bow.
Oh, speaking of blasters, we can talk about this. The second trailer for The Bad Batch dropped.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
Totally forgot about that. That looks amazing, and it's coming out in less than a month.
Yeah, excited.
Very excited.
New content.
Very, very excited. It looks beautiful. We find out a little more about the plot. It looks like the Bad Batch is being hunted now by Tarkin and the Empire. So,
which makes sense, because we were wondering, like, all right, where are they going to fall on this?
Right.
Line of good guys
and
bad
we
guys.
Saw Rex appear for a brief moment, so does that mean we'll see and maybe a little bit of an older Ahsoka as well?
I would hope that it's kind of maybe building towards her series, that we might get some
yeah, but at the same time I'm thinking I think they're separated at this point, her and Rex. I don't think they're together.
Yeah,
because they don't come together again until Rebels.
It's true.
So I don't know if they're still maybe with, I don't know, but it would be cool to see her again, because it's Ahsoka clearly, so but yeah, that's about it for the Star Wars news. We're gonna take a quick little break, and then from there we're going to talk about the Star Wars, the new Vintage Collection on Disney Plus, which consists of I think two new movies, a new and two series, right?
Two movies, two series, and one short.
Yeah. So, yeah, stay tuned, guys. And we're back. So how do you feel about this Vintage Collection? What's in it?
I am stoked because it's such a great nostalgia trip. Which reminded me of the one bit of news that we didn't cover, but it actually it fits with this too. So we are now 22 years out from the prequels.
I was waiting to talk about that for this, for the Vintage, yeah.
And the prequels are 22 years out from the original series. So I think it's a good time that they brought it out now. It's a nice nod. I guess everybody's like, you know, where's the special edition prequels? Bring the prequels back to the big screen.
Mm.
Which I think would be a great thing to do now that we're kind of getting back into people being able to go out to the big screen.
Yes, it would be a good thing for movies to bring those back, just to get people in the theater and, you know, stuff like that. Because
I would absolutely love that.
You and I have been vaccinated. My second vaccination is actually on Tuesday, so
mine is coming up in a couple weeks.
So we'll be fully vaccinated by the end of the month, basically.
Yeah.
Beginning of the next month.
So So I think that would be a great thing to do, is to remaster, re-release them on the big screen. It'd be pretty awesome. It's so weird to think that it's been that long.
Yeah.
Because we were still kids when the prequels came out. The original series, the whole series came out before either of us were born.
Correct.
So it felt like it was a really long time. It felt like Star Wars was really old by the time the prequels came out. But now that I'm like thinking about when the prequels came out, I'm like, well, that wasn't that long ago, was it?
Yeah.
But
it's been 22 years since episode 1 came out.
22 years. And honestly, it does feel that way for episode 1 to me, because I still look back at that as being a kid, and being a kid feels like it was a long time ago. But Revenge of the Sith doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
No, because that was what, 2005?
Yeah.
So in a few years, it's going to be the 20th anniversary.
That's so crazy.
I think this year is the 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones. 2002. No, mm-hmm. I mean next year.
2020.
Next year's going to be the 20th anniversary 22.
Math.
Right. Math. But yeah, so in the Star Wars Vintage Collection, we have, which Chris and I have talked about before on the show.
Yes.
Both of us thought in a million years we'd see this on Disney Plus.
Well, because I said I wanted to see it. I was like, bring it to Disney Plus.
Well, the thing is, these are all considered non-canon.
Yes.
So to have them on Disney Plus is kind of interesting because everything on Disney Plus is considered canon for Star Wars.
Yeah, it's really, it's almost like alternate universe, maybe? I don't know.
Kind of.
Interesting.
But so we have the Caravan of Courage. We have Ewoks Battle for Endor.
Those are the Ewok movies.
Yes. And we have the short story of the Faithful Wookiee, which is like an 80s cartoon of Chewbacca doing something.
Well, that's an important one. We'll talk about that one.
We have the Ewok series. And then we have the original Clone Wars 2D micro series.
Yes.
So.
Okay, so we've already talked about. We've already talked about the Ewok movies, like quite
yes,
a bit.
But
quite a bit.
I put it on because I was with my coworker.
Oh God, did you watch them?
I watched the second one, and because he and I remembered it, but he didn't remember the second one. I totally forgot that Wicket talked.
Yeah.
Totally just spaced it out, and when he started talking, I was like, "Wait a minute! I have to scrub back and go. What did he say?" What? So, like, basically, how I see it, and my coworker found it funny that for this comparison, that the family were like Christian missionaries, and they went and taught English.
Yeah. It does. It does kind of have that vibe to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, oh no.
It's so. Oh God. It's so weird. It's very much.
George,
oh my
let these
God.
Movies happen. This is horrible.
It's very much, oh my God, the world needs more Star Wars content. Here, have this.
Yeah, so those are rough things to watch. But if you ever like watch them, like just like maybe on some narcotics or drunk or something, they're very fun.
Yeah, they were a big part of my childhood. They played on the Disney Channel quite frequently for some bizarre reason.
Yep.
So I remembered them, and I remember like that weird other creature in the second movie,
the
little monkey,
yeah,
miniature
little, like,
yeti
white,
looking guy,
white, yeah
that guy, who's also in the series.
Yes,
or his people are in the series. So then there's the Ewok cartoons, the Ewoks cartoons, which by the way has the most bizarre opening theme. They're like Ewoks.
It's really weird. It was made in 85 to 86, and it was two seasons.
It is, but I can't believe there was two seasons of this. So the Ewoks series, the cartoon series, it is basically a prequel events. It runs up to the movies, so that this happens all before the movies.
Correct.
But it has similar characters, and because we're basically looking at it from the perspective of the Ewoks, they all speak English. Although they kind of like throw in random Ewok words every once in a while.
Yes.
But oh my God, this show is so trippy. It's like, it's very 80s. It's very 80s. But it's if the Gummy Bears mashed up with the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
Mixed with like a little bit of Thundercats.
It is so, I mean, the fact that it's Star Wars is not even apparent, except that it's Ewoks. And then later, you do get appearances by Luke Skywalker and other cast members, and the Empire gets involved and stuff. And it kind of canonically runs up to Return of the Jedi. Like, it actually introduces Return of the Jedi in some ways, and the Empire being on Endor. But it's just, oh my God, it's so crazy.
I remember from the show was there like a really creepy Endor witch named Morag.
Yes. So she is super bizarre, and that's where that whole kind of weird Dungeons and Dragons fantasy element comes into play.
And there's like trolls at one
point, there's fairies. Even my daughter, because we were watching it together, she was like, how is this Star Wars? And I was like, well, if you remember, there's actually quite a bit of magic in Star Wars. There's quite a bit of fantasy.
Yeah,
it goes back to, you know, Mara Jade in her elf costume. There's quite a bit of high fantasy elements to Star Wars. And
there's an episode, I'm looking at this right now. There's an episode called Blue Harvest.
Yes, and I was going to mention that. Yes. So there's lots of cool Easter eggs that come out of the Ewok series, including an episode called Blue Harvest, which some of you may or may not know is the was the code name for filming Empire Strikes Back?
No, episode 4. The OG.
And then it was used for Family Guy.
Yes.
That's where they got it.
The Blue Harvest specials. That was always those are fun. I like those.
Yeah.
I want those on Disney Plus, but they won't be on Disney Plus.
No, it's never gonna happen, but it should be. Well, I mean, Fox has it, I guess. That's back from
they own Fox, so
did they oh that's right, they did.
Right.
They own everything. No wonder they're building super weapons. They own everything.
Yeah, might as well own the weapon biz too. But yeah, so Ewoks, it's a trip and a half.
Oh my god, it's so weird. I recommend it just because it's like I don't know.
Ewok princess.
It's so like pointlessly gendered too. But
she has like a pink cape and
yeah. But it's very much
and she's all white and like
she's very cute.
Yes, and she's very cute. She wears like pairs of, like 301 lashes, like drag queens wear on her.
Exactly, because you know, pointlessly gendered.
Because princess.
It's great for like an artificial nostalgia bomb for a time when you weren't even alive.
Yeah. But like I said, they're not canon necessarily. So.
They're not canon, but they're fun.
Yeah.
They're, you know, I mean, they put them up for a reason.
So next up, we have the faithful Wookiee.
Okay, so this is very important. Here's why. It is only a 9-minute short.
Yes.
It is a very interesting animation style that actually comes out of Europe and not US animation studios for a few good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it appeared in the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yep.
And introduces us to Boba Fett. And until the prequels, this was literally the most interaction we ever got with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Because he's got a ton of lines, he's got a personality.
And he does stuff.
And he does really cool things and doesn't just, you know, stand around and look menacing and get shot at.
Yeah.
And eaten. So, this is where the original mystique for Boba Fett came from. If you grew up and actually got to see the Star Wars Holiday Special, which I did not.
Nope.
I did not see it until high school when there was like a random copy of it bouncing around YouTube.
Yep.
Other than that, I'd always seen just like some dumb clips that people had
or stills
saved.
From there or something. Yeah.
Stills as if there were stills of this cartoon. And the cartoon style is actually echoed sometimes in the Ewok thing. And then with the last thing we're going to talk about. But anyway, so it all goes back to this. People who were obsessed with him from the beginning were obsessed because of this cartoon, because he was really cool. And he had fooled everybody except... So let's just run down what happens. The gang, like Leia and Luke and the droids are on some rebel base. I think it's a base. I don't know. Maybe it's a ship. And they get like a distress signal or something from the Falcon. And Han is tied up upside down in the background and incapacitated. And Wookiee is, and Chewbacca is driving, flying, piloting, whatever you want to say. And he is speaking Wookiees. Whoa, I don't know. What is the language?
It's
not Wookiees, is it? What is it?
No.
What is it? I should know this.
I can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember. Anyway, he's speaking his, you know, his language, and nobody else speaks it.
No.
And Han is incapacitated, so nobody knows what's happening, but basically like the Falcon is barreling towards them and they're freaking out because they think it's gonna get destroyed, and I don't know, so they go on some like cockamamie rescue mission where they're falling. So Luke and the droids hop in some other ship and they go off to find to follow the Falcon to see where it's going, so they can try to save Han, and the droids get taken along because Luke doesn't speak Wookiee, whatever.
Correct.
It's called. They get to this planet And the, I don't know, they meet up with Boba Fett on this giant dinosaur thing.
Chewbacca, like, calls for his aid, basically.
Yeah, which is weird. It's really weird. You don't, so the whole how they have established how they know each other from the past, I don't completely get. But he's coming along to help them. There's some like weird sleeping sickness. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really, really, it's again,
for a trippy 9 minute cartoon. It is
in the 70s too. So
there's a again, shit. Trippy. It's like 1978. There's a lot happening in this 9 minute little thing. You know, he basically convinces everybody that he's a good guy. He's going to help them. He's going to get the cure for this weird sleeping sickness. And, you know, it seems like he's a good guy. He's calling everybody friend and being nice and, you know, oh, Empire bad, blah, blah, blah.
Empire bad.
And then R2 intercepts this call that he makes from like a payphone, like some intergalactic payphone.
Yep.
That Boba makes this call to Darth Vader, and he's like, they're dumb. They fell for it. I found him. I got him.
Yeah.
and Darth Vader's all, okay, cool. And R2 basically has to come back and be like, yeah, you guys are all idiots. He's best buds with Darth Vader.
And didn't the cast voice the anime characters too?
All of the cast reprises their role.
That's what I thought, because it was with the holiday special, I assume they did it with the cartoon too.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool because the animation is actually really interesting to look at. It's very definite, like distinctly late 70s, early 80s.
Yes.
Weirdness. But it looks really cool. I think it's very interesting. The animation for Han's face is just hilarious. He looks like a horse. Like, what is happening?
Well, Luke doesn't look much better.
I think Luke looks the best.
I know. Hold on. It's been a while since I've seen it. I'm Googling them right now. Hold on.
It's interesting. And then, interestingly enough, so this particular animation style was extraordinarily, what's the word I'm looking for? Influential to later animators, including the creator of the original Clone Wars. Guess I don't think he looks that bad as compared to Han. Oh, you guys have to look up Han. It's a horse. He looks like a horse.
It looks horrible.
What were they thinking? Like, I think they were.
He has like a Michael Jackson nose too.
They were like caricaturing Harrison Ford's face. Like, he's got a long face, but he's an incredibly good-looking guy.
So it's okay, it's the live-action Luke that looks really weird in this, for some reason. They give him, like, a really weird blonde wig.
Oh, yeah, no,
like a Beano wig.
Was super weird.
But, oh my god, that's so funny.
So, the way that 3PO appears in this cartoon is also the way he, not completely, but his look was influenced by this in the original Clone Wars.
Oh, that makes sense.
By
Gendy.
Gendy's.
Yeah.
Tartaskis. Yeah. He was very influenced by it. And he actually named
at images right now, and it's so funny.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. You guys, you have to either, like, just watch it. What is that? Chewbacca looks like, I don't know, like a teddy bear. Like they threw a teddy bear's face at our lion.
Absolutely love this.
It's very, very, like, horrible. It's interesting. It's very interesting to watch.
It's bad,
guys. It's 9 minutes long.
Out of your day, go watch it, please.
Just watch it for.
Which, speaking of C-3PO, I'm surprised that the droids cartoon isn't on the vintage.
I'm very surprised about this too, because also it's similar. It's a similar animation style.
Yeah,
and it really. I enjoyed the droid series.
I don't know if it was like maybe from a different studio or something, but I'm very surprised that it's not on there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe eventually, maybe they're just gonna like slowly roll it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so that leaves us with
the OG Clone Wars.
The OG Clone Wars. The vintage 2003 Clone Wars.
That makes me so upset.
Oh my god. Yeah, so this came out when I was in high school. And I was so in middle school. Stoked. I was so stoked for this.
For the 3.5 minute long episodes that was on Cartoon Network.
Doesn't matter, because it was Star Wars and it was new so funny. Star Wars.
It would come on between like, I think like Dexter's Lab and like something else. Yeah. And it was literally like 3 minutes long. And it would come on like right at dinner time, at least when I was eating dinner. So I would literally like stand in the kitchen, watch the short for 3 minutes, and then go eat dinner.
Yeah. No, I remember.
That's what it was.
I remember watching like a whole bunch of them. There was like a marathon of them. And sitting in the, there was a television in the nook off of the house that we always rented when we would go skiing in Canada. And I was just, I remember my brother and I just like sitting there pounding cereal and watching this.
Oh yeah. Well, so here, like, so season one, it's chapters 1 through 20 and they're like three and a half minutes long each. Season two is chapters 21 through 25 and they're like 8 minutes long ish each, 8 to 10 minutes long. So they clearly had a better, you know, I guess not production value, but you know, they wanted to do longer episodes, but altogether it's like 2 hours long for
both season one and two. It's so cool. I loved it. I loved the exploration of the characters. You can get through it fast. There's somebody behind you, Ian. That was a little creepy.
Yeah, so it was that's my roommate saying hi to my cat. But I'm like, no, get out. She's going to start meowing.
Somebody just suddenly appeared and I was like, oh, okay.
It's death has come to get me.
Death has come to get you. Well, she was wearing all black, so.
Yeah, well, that's fair. This was a fun series.
It's such a fun series. I loved it. I really wish it had been longer and stayed around. Ginny Tartakovsky is just absolutely brilliant. He is just the go-to creator for Cartoon Network. He's behind, you know, he's behind Samurai Jack. He's worked on Cow and Chicken, Dexter's Laboratory. A bunch of, if you were a 90s kid, early 2000s kid, then you watched all this guy's cartoons.
Yeah.
And he's still making stuff. He actually is the creator behind Primal, which is on Adult Swim's current lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool.
He's the director of Hotel Transylvania.
Director of Hotel Transylvania. Yes, I did. Which is like the original one I thought was really, really funny and I got a kick out of.
I never knew that until one of my coworkers told me, and then I'm like, he did what?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a cool guy. Interesting guy. I am really glad they put up this stuff. And I do hope that we get more things.
So it's a heated debate. Do you like the 2D better or the 3D better?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't really think they're comparable.
People think they are on the internet, so.
Originally, I was like, I liked the 2D better just because, I don't know, because it was the first and I was really partial to it. But there's so much more lore behind the 3D and there's, I mean, God, there's like, it's a massive series. It's a massive series.
Yes. I mean, I love elements of the 2D, but also the 3D, you get to have so much more detailed characters and environments and scenes that you can do.
I mean, like you said, it's 2 hours. It's 2 hours. You can't really compare them. I mean, I just don't think you can.
And, you know, it'll always hold a special place in my heart. But for me, it's the 3D one, because without the 3D one, you wouldn't have all this lore and all these spinoff series we're having now. But to be fair, without the 2D one, we wouldn't have the 3D one.
Yeah.
So
I also feel like
it's that.
It brought in more interest and love for the prequels.
I agree.
For me, it originally made me enjoy Anakin more because it did give him more depth, even just this small amount of time we got to see him. But we got to see him more as, you know, this feared and powerful Jedi that he was supposed to be.
Correct.
So I really liked that. Plus, we got a lot of cool Mace Windu stuff too, and Yoda.
And it's Yoda the being first awesome. Ventress.
Yes, and it introduced Ventress. Yep.
She was created for this show.
Yep.
So, you know, she's a, obviously, you know, if you've listened to our show before, she's a huge, huge love for both Chris and I. So, you know, she was kind of wasted in this series, but she was still fun.
Yes.
But yeah, I really do like this series. I'm glad it's on here again. You know, it's a quick watch too. All these are quick watches except for the movies. The movie's like an hour and a half-ish.
Yeah.
And those can kind of drag on, but...
Yeah, you can just put them on in the background if you're doing nothing else.
Basically, yeah. If you're cleaning or something, you can just randomly hear, you know, Wicket say some human word, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's kind of like... Have you seen the video on YouTube of... It was one of the Pokemon movies that got released in theaters where Pikachu finally spoke. Yeah. And it caught the audience by surprise, like complete and total shock. And like Ash is like, why don't you get your Pokeball? And then you hear Pikachu go, because, and then someone's recording it, and then you hear someone in the audience go, what the fuck? I'll see the video because it's very funny. But it's kind of like that when Wicket speaks. You're like, I don't like this. This shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But yeah, so Star Wars Vintage Collection, it's now on Disney Plus. Watch it on your leisure or watch it all at once. It could be a weekend thing, honestly.
It will leave you thoroughly convinced that people during the 70s and 80s were completely out of their mind, which is
yes,
what I have always believed. having not experienced any of that, I am convinced that they were all out of their minds.
It's a proven fact now. Proven fact. But that about wraps us up here, guys. Chris, once again, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at ChrisJaded and on Twitter at TheDirtWitch.
And you can find me at IRTurner on the Twitters. And you can also find us at Echo Station Cast on Twitter. We put out new episodes every month. We're going to start doing our Padme series soon. It's the last season for that. We have some guests coming on soon as well. Cannot wait for that. But until next time, guys, stay happy, stay healthy, go get that vaccine wherever you can, and may the force be with you.
May the force be with you.